It's really great to be with you all. Thank you for coming.
We want to see who we're going to be with in heaven. We want to make sure. Are you going to heaven?
Yes.
About half of you, I think.
The Lord said he's got a room ready for us.
That's right. That's right. That's what we want to hear. Yeah. Well, Father Lawrence and I, we've just come back from... We've come back from Bratislava, Slovakia, and we came back on, I can hardly remember which day it was, I think it was Thursday night, and well, we got in the early hours of 3 o'clock Friday morning we got in, because all the roads to Southampton were closed, the M3 was closed, and then the A34 was closed, even some of the back roads were closed, so we felt the Lord must have worked powerfully in Slovakia, because somebody didn't like us.
Someone from downstairs.
Yeah.
It was crazy, really.
Yeah.
It took us so long. Everything was blocking.
But that brings us to Romans chapter 12 here. I implore you by God's mercy to offer your very selves to him as a living sacrifice.
Do you do that? Do it again, Pauline. This is serious business.
It says my brothers, but it does mean sisters as well.
Definitely.
My brothers and sisters, I implore you by God's mercy to offer your very selves to him, a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for his acceptance.
So what's so important is that you would see yourself as a sacrifice, not just Jesus. Not just Jesus, but you. You are a sacrifice to God the Father with Jesus. But you are, and a lot of people don't think that. They don't see themselves as God sees us.
If
God,
we think of a sacrifice,
if
we really think what a sacrifice is, I think some of us can recognize that we are a sacrifice, can you? By your lives.
Suffering at home, suffering at work.
Suffering everywhere.
Everywhere. Mm. Very real. But some people look at Pauline and me, or at Elise, or whoever that you know, people involved in Renewal, and they say, well, I don't have these charisms you talk about. I don't do this kind of thing. And they're looking at themselves, whereas... we are nothing. We are, at the same time, we are royalty, not less. We are, really are daughters and sons of the Father. This is real. But I grew up with this as kind of a pious language. Do you know what I mean? A holy kind of language. But it wasn't a great reality for me.
We're just getting used to, we've had interpreters beside us all the time, so we're just getting used to standing next to each other again.
That's right.
So if it looks as though we're confused, we are just slightly. But not in a bad way.
Open confession is good for the soul.
And today, although we're talking about healing,
yeah,
we know that healing actually brings us to... this morning I was interested in Deacon John when he said evangelization, or Father Leo Target says, and you repeated it, that evangelization scares everybody. The word scares everybody. But when we're bringing love, well, it's acceptable, isn't it? And this healing, when people see people being healed, they want to know more and they're attracted to it. And we find this all the time, don't we?
It's the love that heals. Mm-hmm. And we have that love. You have that love.
Yes.
We need to really ask you to really believe this with your whole heart.
Somebody said to me quite recently, I haven't got any of the gifts that... I haven't got any of the gifts that other people have.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what gifts have you got? And he said, well, I don't know really. He said, I think I did put my hand on somebody once and they said they felt better. I said, so you didn't sort of take that further and do it again with somebody else? Well, he said, no. But he said, I haven't got that gift or that gift. And he was pointing to different people. And I said, have you asked for the gifts? He said, yes. Well, I said, it says in the scripture, believe that you have already received what you've asked for.
That's in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and it's a powerful text. Mm.
So believe that you have already received what you've asked for. And if you're living the life, the Christian life, you must expect. Do you agree? That's very, very weak.
Very unsure. Very unsure.
It's our duty as servants of the Lord, yes.
Because every single human being needs our love.
Every human being needs our love.
The Lord
That's right.
will supply us with everything that we need.
The Lord supplies all our needs.
We must lose ourselves to Him. We must surrender.
Yeah, we must surrender. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Thank you.
Before I came up, Pauline, I didn't get a chance to share this with you. But I ask, you know, I'm not saying, I'm asking you. St. John chapter 15. That closeness, there you are.
The vine.
Just that bit. How close is Jesus to you?
He's inside me.
That's right, that's right.
I have asked him to be there and to help me because I can't do anything myself. I'm very weak.
You're right, because we're all weak. And that's why we always say we boast of our weakness, don't we? You were saying, was it today you were saying that? We boast of our weakness.
Do you boast of your weakness? Mm-hmm. I didn't. I was ashamed I said that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Just the closeness of the... do you really believe that you and Jesus really are one? Do you believe that? I didn't believe it because I was so conscious of my sins. You know what I mean? I thought, well, when I'm holy, yes, but that's in the future. But no, it's now.
I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains in me, and I in that person, they will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. And that's why, if I thought I was going to heal somebody on my own, I wouldn't stretch my hand out. But I know that the Lord is going to turn up. And it's He who's doing it, not me.
Because He turns up in our ministry all the time. Mm. We're stunned. But it's nothing about us. Mm-hmm. It's actually believing what he's told us. Believing that we have all this heavenly love for the whole human race, as our sister said.
And do you know what? We were praying, I was praying with an interpreter for somebody, and we like to use the Bible, and we encourage you to use the Bible too. We like to use the Bible, and just to find out, just to really confirm what we feel that we ought to be praying for. But we always say, we don't just open the Bible and stab our finger in it, because... Father Lawrence will tell you why.
Yeah, because the Romans used to do this with Virgil's Aeneid when they wanted to know what to do. They believed in destiny, and they would open Virgil's Aeneid, and wherever their eyes fell, they put their finger, and that was their destiny. So the church has condemned that. When we open the Bible, we don't just prod at our fingers and say, that's what God is saying to me, but... we read over that page until something touches us.
And what happened in the Czech Republic was the person who was interpreting didn't have their Bible with them. And so I had my Bible. And I wanted to confirm what we needed to pray for. So I said to the person I was with, can you really say to the person we're praying with that... This is what we do not do in England. We do not open it and stab our finger somewhere and say, this is it. So I prayed over the scripture with my prayer partner, and we asked the Lord that when this person opened the scripture, that the word would speak to her. And I said to the interpreter, just ask her, just to look at the page And there are pictures in this Bible, actually, and I thought, she's bound to get a picture, because God is so good. And anyway, she didn't get a picture. She just got 2 pages of text, and I wasn't very happy at that. But I said, well, ask her what looks attractive to her on the page. And so she picked something, just a few lines that seemed attractive to her. Do you know, they were the very lines that confirmed what we needed to pray for. Isn't God wonderful?
Absolutely.
So we have to have the faith to know that whatever we ask, he is going to turn up because he loves the person we're praying for. Not that we're special, but the person we're praying for is special. It's remarkable, isn't it?
So remarkable. But we ask you all the time to take your own experience of God seriously. I remember years ago, some of you may remember Father Robert Farrisee, Bob Farrisee, who's written a lot of books on the charisms and on prayer. Anyway, he was doing a course with us on contemplative prayer. And he said there were 60 people. And he said, in order to study this prayer, be sure to take your own experience of God seriously. Now, I was 60 years of age at the time, and I'd never taken my experience seriously. I would have thought Pauline prays well. I'd love to be able to pray like Pauline, like Deacon John. But me, when I'm in contemplation, when I'm in meditation, whatever I'm doing, it's all right, but not very good, really. And I'm completely wrong. I hadn't taken my experience of God seriously. That is, I am Lawrence Brassel, that's me. I am so loved by Almighty God, the Lord of heaven and earth. And God, dare I say, and God created all of you to love me. Did you know that?
Yes.
I bet you didn't.
And some of us fail sometimes.
Pauline fails sometimes to love me. I'll get away with that. I might pay for it afterwards, but just now. It's utterly amazing. God's plan for each one of you is perfect. I didn't believe it. I can't believe I'm here with you and Pauline now, in my history. But when you surrender yourself to God and trust him, you will see, you have already, you will see absolute wonders.
And we're not going to tell you the story of how we got together, because I think it's probably on one of the CDs. It might be on another, because from year to year, when people come to the New Dawn Conference, which is where the recordings took place, we don't know our audience. We don't know who's going to be with us. And people are wondering, why are those two together? You know, why? What's that about?
What's going on?
And we didn't choose to be together. You know that Jesus is alive today because Pauline Edwards and Father Lawrence Brassel are still ministering together after about 20 years. Because without the Holy Spirit, there would have been a little parting of the ways, I think. But because Jesus is alive, we're still here.
It's a work of God.
It is, it is.
And therefore it's possible for everybody.
But we were put to minister together by the prior at Clare Priory, and the subsequent provincials have allowed this to happen for us. So there you go. That's why we're together. Father Lawrence didn't want to be with another. He was happy on his own. If he had to be with anybody, he wanted it to be with a friar, and he certainly didn't want it to be with a woman. And I was ministering with my husband when he died, and I was happy sort of on my own, and then we were put to minister together.
The prior saw we had complementary gifts.
Yes.
We were so different.
Mm-hmm. So different we could hardly stick together.
So, I only work here. I have no problems. All my problems are upstairs. Problems belong to management. I only work here. So I have no worries. None.
And thinking about...
Do you believe that for yourself? Because that's you as well.
Yeah.
Jesus again and again says, do not worry. But most people say, well, you have to worry, Father, be realistic. No, you do not. When you live the life of Jesus and you believe in his word, and then you'll be evangelizing all over the place, all day, every day, just by your knowing the love of the Father.
And we're talking about healing. And so if you look at, I don't know if you have a Bible with you, but Hebrews chapter 11.
Catholics don't bring the Bible with them, and it's a shame.
Well, a lot of them do, but some of them don't.
That's correct, Pauline. But look at that, right? Wave it high.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because it's a giveaway for Catholics, because there's a feeling it's a kind of a Protestant thing. Deep down. And Pope Francis asks people to have a small gospel. To have, you know, the small little ones, have it with you all the time, and ask God to speak to you and to guide you.
And so we have Hebrews chapter 11, which is all about faith. And just the first little bit, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. So to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. And it was by their faith that people of ancient times won God's approval. But if you read the whole of Hebrews, it's all about faith.
Yes.
And this is what we have to have. And we ask for the gift of faith. Some people say, oh, I want more faith, but we have to use what we have and see what happens. Because just, you know how big a mustard seed is, don't you? I mean, it's so tiny. You hardly see it. And yet, it grows into this huge tree.
Look at that. Heal the sick. Believe.
Yeah. Well, do you want to read it?
If you'd like to. They're there. They will get better.
Yeah.
Jesus said to them, we're now in chapter 16 of St. Mark, and make it your own. If you have a Bible, do open it, because you will grow into the Word of God. Here we have this wonderful word. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Now, you need faith to do that. So he goes ahead and explains. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And then he goes on, and these signs will accompany those who believe. Well, you believe, so these signs accompany you. Do you accept that? Pause before you say yes. Do you really accept that these signs will follow the faith you have? You see, the apostles asked, Paul has just mentioned the mustard seed. The apostles said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus, instead of saying yes, Jesus actually said no. What he said was, you don't need more faith. What you need to do is use the teensy bit you have. And that will move mountains. I didn't understand this. So he didn't agree with them. They said, well, I can't do anything unless I get more faith. No. And you might think like that. And Jesus says, if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, a mere speck, It will move mountains. Isn't that fantastic? So you have no excuse. Neither have I. We've no excuse to say, I can't pray for healing.
And this follows on very nicely. This is Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus heals two blind men. Jesus left that place, and as he walked along, two blind men started following him. Take pity on us, son of David, they shouted. And when Jesus had gone indoors, the two blind men came to him, and he asked them, do you believe that I can heal you? Yes, sir, they answered. Then Jesus touched their eyes and said, let it happen then, just as you believe. and their sight was restored. So I think that's very telling. Jesus touched their eyes and said, let it happen then, just as you believe. So if you're going to be doubting, why would it happen? And in St. James, we hear that the person who doubts needn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. I know you're a bit distracted there, but this is very important. Jesus said, the one who doubts, in St. James, the one who doubts must not expect anything from the Lord.
I got a great shock when I read that a few years ago. And this is Roy, just at lunchtime.
Can you come here, please?
Please, yeah. Roy made the mistake of talking with me. And he told me a very simple thing, but very much what Paul is talking about, how to evangelize, how to heal.
It's just an experience that happened this year. I'm a Eucharistic minister, and I was taking the Eucharist to someone who's sick at home. In fact, what had happened was he'd broken his arm, and he just couldn't drive to get to church. And when I arrived, he was actually, he'd been in such great pain that he was basically lying in bed, and he wasn't able to receive the Eucharist. So I just basically sat there with him, and I actually prayed for him, for his healing. And he was waiting to go to see the consultant the following week to have his arm cut open and pinned, because it didn't look like it was healing. And when he went, he had an X-ray, and the bone had healed.
That's wonderful. All of you have had such experiences, and there are more ahead, because we're only starting. In order to convert the world, you see, this is what we're doing.
And I was reminded the other day, we were telling this story because Father Lawrence and I, we were speaking like this, and we're in a hall, and there was a woman sitting down there, and she had a little child on her knee, and the little one was making a little bit of a noise, but nothing really, nothing to disturb anybody. But the mother seemed to be a bit, agitated by it. So I left Father Lawrence up here speaking, and I just went down and I said, don't worry about your little girl. That's fine. She's fine. Don't worry. And the grandmother sitting on the other side said, she can't hear you. She's deaf. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And out of my mouth came, would you like to hear? And she lip-read me, and she said, yes. And so I just put my hand on her ear, and I said, I don't know what I said, to be honest, because Jesus did it. But in Jesus' name, I command healing of your hearing. And she just sort of went like that and, opened her eyes wide and her mouth wide, and she could hear. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Do you know, I was surprised myself. When I thought about it, because I hadn't thought about it, I just kind of did it. Yeah. And then she came up, didn't she?
Yeah.
And she gave her testimony, how she hadn't been able to hear, and then she could. Now, we don't know why the Lord does it to some and he doesn't do it to others, or he does it instantaneously. If it was up to me, I'd go around everyone and I'd say, be healed, be healed, be healed, and you all would be. But that's not the Lord's way, is it? Something always happens when we pray. But we don't always get what we ask for, but we always get more than we ask for, because it's always better, because God is in charge.
Part of our belief, we've given to some of you, there are a few more at the back, this little leaflet.
Are you going to speak into the microphone? Are you going to speak into the microphone?
And in it, there's a prayer of Cardinal Newman. And in the second little paragraph...
And Mother Teresa.
And Mother Teresa, yeah, mm-hmm. Mother Teresa adapted it. Mm-hmm. And if you turn to the second paragraph, I just want to put this. This is preparation for healing people, for praying for healing. Shine through me, it's halfway the second paragraph, and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with, now watch the next line, may feel your presence in my soul. Those of you who have it open with you, could you just say that with me, Polly? Shine through me.
And be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul.
That gave me a huge shock. I didn't feel that Pauline would feel Jesus' presence in me. You know. And therefore, his presence wasn't very real. His presence in the Blessed Sacrament, yes. I adored Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. But in myself, and I think this could be quite a Catholic thing in a way, I didn't take really seriously that when I look at you, when I look at Alexander or listen to him, that I'm looking at Jesus, that I'm hearing Jesus. Do you believe that? That's great. I'm glad you didn't all say yes, because you have to change. And I have to change. Let me say it again. Shine through. He begins, first of all, by saying, Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Is that what you want? And the rest of you, do you want it as well? Do you want to spread the fragrance of Jesus everywhere you go?
The world certainly needs it, doesn't it?
And it needs you. Mm-hmm. You probably didn't realize the world needs you. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people don't need me. And shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Now, that's the healing. It's the presence of Jesus in sinful, lazy, cowardly, lustful Lawrence.
Shall I add to the list?
I'd be afraid to tell the truth. Anyway, that's it.
Oh, dear. Did you want to say more about that or not?
Just believe you are the fragrance of Jesus. Even if in your home or at work you get mocked and people dismiss you, or if nobody laughs at your jokes, Jesus is there. And I love this other bit, Matthew 25. Whatever you do to Pauline, you do to me, Jesus says. So I can't get away with it. If I let Pauline down in some way, I'm letting Jesus down. This is how important Pauline is, and you too. Whatsoever. And you remember Paul in chapter 20, I think, of the Acts, where Paul said he was going to Damascus, and the voice sounded, he fell and was blinded by light, and the voice came, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, remember? And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? Remember the words? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And there was his conversion. Isn't that lovely? You know, think of your family, your friend. Think of the people you can't get on with, the people you'd love to do something to, you know, the truth of your feelings. Don't be led by them. Don't be led by your feelings, but the truth of them. Right.
Just as we're standing here talking, I just feel that the Lord actually, you know, wants to heal some of you here, and particularly there's somebody, perhaps more than one person, who's felt elbowed out. Maybe in the family or somewhere. Who's felt elbowed out?
Just raise your hand, because this is the word of knowledge. This is the Holy Spirit. One of the many gifts God uses in the church. He's using all of you. He's using Pauline in this way for you.
You may have felt pushed out in your family. You may have been part of a good family, but you've felt that somebody has elbowed you out, or at work, or in school.
It's not a judgment of them. Don't be afraid you're condemning them.
No, this is about you.
It's about your need that wasn't met.
Mm-hmm.
So who is it? It's infallible. I've worked for 18 years with Pauline, and this word, it always bears fruit. It's staggering.
So you, now let the tears come,
please. Let the tears come. They're part of the healing.
Yeah, they are. They are. And Catherine can go and just say a little prayer with your...
And someone might find some tissues.
Yeah, there's tissues at the back. No, that's fine. Don't stop.
No.
You see, this is what the day is for.
Don't stop it. Don't stop it. This is the healing coming.
Yeah. Yes.
Was there anybody else who experienced that same thing as well?
Yes. Because all the pain is in there, and when the pain is in there, it has to come out somewhere, and it comes out in all sorts of ways, in sickness and illness, and so. But once you say it out and accept it, that's good. Alistair and I were just having a little conversation about people owning up to things, and Father Lawrence and I were somewhere, and I had this very strong word of knowledge that somebody had a pain in their arm or something, and we weren't speaking, and he said, well, go up and tell the main speaker. And I didn't really feel like it, but I thought, all right then. So I went up and I said, and I gave out this word, and everybody looked around to see who it might be. And nobody owned up. And so then everybody looked to the front and then put their heads down, like, oh, dear, dear.
So this was so embarrassing for Pauline, as you can imagine.
Well, actually... no, they were embarrassed. The people themselves were embarrassed. I knew that I was giving a word of the Lord, and all I had to do was to be obedient. Might not have wanted to do it, but you know, I'd already said yes to the Lord. Use me, Lord. And he says, all right, you said use me. Anyway, to cut a long story short, anyway, I had to just... nobody owned up. And I felt that the Lord wanted to do so much in that gathering. It didn't happen. So I had to walk off the stage. It was on a stage. I had to walk off the stage. Good for the humility. And that was that. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, I was speaking to a woman on the phone, and she said, oh, by the way, that was me. I said, what was you? She said, when you spoke about the arm, she said, I'd had this dreadful pain in my arm, she said, and it got all freed up the minute you spoke. I said, well, you didn't say. Oh, she said, no. I said, why not? Oh, she said, I didn't want to draw attention to myself. I said, well, what about me? Oh, she said, I didn't think of you.
Yeah. Very understandable, very real.
The glory of the Lord. What about Jesus?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's here with us.
Exactly. Yeah. But the thing is that sometimes, you know, in our church, people aren't really expecting anything, and therefore it doesn't sort of happen straight away. We had another man came to the outreach in Southampton, didn't we? And we were just telling stories about healings, and we find that we've been told that when we just talk about healings happen for people. And this guy came, and he came just to bring somebody, and he sat at the back, and he wasn't interested in anything particular. And we started talking about a woman whose ankle had been healed, and at the end of the session, he came up and he said, you know, when you were talking, he said, all the pain's gone out of my ankle. He said, I had a bad ankle for 40 years. Yeah, and he went home and he went to his work, didn't he? And he said, my ankle's better. They said, you don't believe in that rubbish, do you? He said, if you'd had a bad ankle, he said, for 40 years and it got better, you'd believe in it. So it was a really good testimony that he gave.
I just find we Paul and I and people who work with us take these leaflets which you have, and when we meet someone, I just say to them, you know, could I show you a little leaflet about something I'm interested in, a Christian work I do? And about 9 out of 10 people say, oh, yes, please. So they take a look at it, and they begin to ask me questions. And it's the opportunity to give testimony, just to say, you can say just 3 words, God loves you. But if you dare to say that, looking at the person, the Spirit evangelizes. That's all you need to do. You know, Pope John Paul II has emphasized that in his letter on lay people, crucified there. But he said, just say, God loves you. Because people don't, and they say, well, how do you know? Well, because I have received his love for you. You've received God's love, all of you. You've received him in Holy Communion just now. I saw you. You received him in Holy Communion. And you have received him for others. He has died for every human being. And he said, come on, you Catholics, come together. Let us go and bring the good news to everyone.
With all the other churches too. Just yeah. Not on our own, but no. Because it's much better when we're really together.
One of the things, Alistair, I don't know if you remember, and Deacon John, were you in Rome at this not that particular one, but he actually said, yeah, God bless the girls, they told us they have to go. It's not because I've said something wrong. Thank you.
Bye. God bless you.
But he said, we must, the baptism in the Spirit, Pope Francis says, is an ecumenical grace. Mm-hmm. And when it began, it was very ecumenical, but then we Roman Catholics began to have our own slightly exclusively Catholic session. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, the grace is reconciled diversity. There's two words he's picked from Lutheranism. Mm. Reconciled diversity. So we differ a little bit. But we're reconciled. And he said, walk with the other Christians. Walk with them.
Because we're all on a mission.
That's right.
We're all on a mission together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my goodness, the world needs the mission.
That's right. That's right. Even before Christian unity has completed its journey, you know, already now, the power is released when we work with other Christians.
And I have open here Matthew chapter 10. And this is the mission of the 12. Go and preach. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Bring the dead back to life. Have you done that yet? Yes, that's right. Manana.
Well, Pauline was driving the car one day and she turned to me apropos of nothing and she said, Lawrence, if I die, you must raise me from the dead. She did. And she meant it.
I did. That's quite a few years ago because I was under an awful lot of... Sorry?
He's still here.
Only just.
I was under an awful lot of spiritual attack and so many bad things were happening to me that I thought, do you know what? I just have to have some insurance here so that if I do die, it's not my time. I'm ready to die when it is my time, but not if it's not. So I did, I said, and you nearly jumped out of the car, didn't you?
I did. Out of your skin,
yes.
At the challenge.
Yes. Well, I don't know if he'd want to bring me back, but you never know. Anyway, heal those who suffer from dreaded skin diseases and drive out demons. You have received without paying, so give without being paid. So, you know, it's a free gift to us. Free gift to go on this mission. Once we've said yes, all we have to do is go. And the Holy Spirit comes with us. But we have to make sure he's totally on board.
So, in every situation as you evangelize, wherever you are, whatever the situation, ask Jesus, what are you doing now? Just ask him, what's going on now? What are you doing in this whatever the problem is, doesn't matter. What are you, Lord Jesus, what are you doing now in me and with me, through me? Yeah. Before that.
Oh, this is discernment. This is we're not just chatting, you know, and saying, oh, well, they can just have a rest.
You're not supposed to whisper about it.
No. Oh dear, I was suggesting to Father Lawrence we tell a particular story.
Which we will have, that's the second.
And he said, oh well, I want you to do this. And I said, oh no. And he said, it's obedience, Pauline, do it. Okay. Well, in another life, I promote adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. I don't really get a lot of time to do that now, but I was in a church and nobody knew me for anything other than promoting the Blessed Sacrament.
In different parishes, Pauline, yeah. Used to go around nationally.
Yeah. Well, listen, I didn't do that much, to be honest.
That much, no.
No. Just a little bit. And because this ministry took up all my time, really. And so for those who've heard the story before, excuse me.
It bears retelling.
So I was at the back of the church saying goodbye to people as they were going out. And there was a woman, and she was leaning on another woman and as she was going out of the church. And she was sort of hobbling, and I said, oh, you know, what's the matter? And she'd hurt her ankle. This is the story, actually, that we were telling when the man's ankle got healed. And she'd done something to her ankle, and she couldn't walk on it. She couldn't put her foot to the floor properly. So I said, would you like a little prayer for that?
Would you have done that? Would you say to someone... pause now. Now you might think, oh, I couldn't do that. You could actually.
And perhaps a lot of you probably do.
Probably do, yeah. But it's good to look at practical ways of evangelizing and of healing. Right.
So she said, oh, yes. So I put my hand, asked her, may I put my hand on your shoulder? And she said, yes. And I asked her friend, you put your hand on the other shoulder. Okay. And I said a little prayer that she'd be healed. And before I'd finished the prayer, or I'd just finished, and this woman came round and she said, well, there's no difference, is there? I mean, you're just the same. And I said, excuse me.
Ah, now, if it had been me, I would have panicked at that stage and I would have given up, probably. But not Pauline.
Well, you might not have done.
I mightn't, Pauline.
Don't be too hard on yourself.
Okay.
And so I said, well, we've just prayed.
Ah. And would you dare to say that? This is really wonderful what we're doing now. Because you can do it every day, any day, anywhere. Do you expect Jesus to act when you pray? And I didn't. What I did was, I hoped he might. Do you know what I mean? I hoped he might.
And hoping is different from believing.
That's not believing, really.
Anyway, what happened was, this lady that we were praying with, I said to her, she said to me, I pray every day to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, today the Holy Spirit wants to do something nice for you. Shall we pray again? So she said, yes. So we prayed again. And very quickly, as soon as I knew I was coming to the end of the prayer, I went around and I stood between my prayer partner, in inverted commas, and the lady. And I said, now, how's that? And she said, oh, it's feeling better. And I said, well, put your foot to the floor and see what happens. So she put her foot to the floor. And I said, as you walk, it'll be better. Just keep walking. And she did, and she was.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Now, this is utterly amazing, but you have to have... I didn't have the nerve to do this at first. Have the nerve, after you've prayed, to ask, what has the Lord done? And very often, the first answer I get is, oh, nothing. I say, well, look again. Have you checked? What do you feel? Oh, yeah. I have a great sense of peace.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. And do ask after you've prayed with somebody, because we were somewhere and there were two of our ministry team praying, and they were quite new, really lovely, but quite new, and they prayed a lovely prayer with a little boy, very little boy, and the parents were there, and because we don't pray too much, really. Sometimes we do. We go around like this, but we let the team do it when the team's here with us. And but so I was noticing what was going on, and I saw this little boy, and I thought, I don't think they asked him if anything happened for him, and I'm sure it did. So I said to the dad, can I just ask your little boy, what happened for him when he got the prayer? He said, sure. So I said, what happened? He said, oh, well, Jesus made my eyes better. And I said, what do you mean Jesus made your eyes better? He said, well, before, when I looked out at all the people, they were all blurry. He said, but now I can see everybody and they're all clear. Well,
Hallelujah.
We would never have known, you see, if we hadn't asked.
Yes.
So it's so important. But we can be scared to ask in case we think, oh, nothing's happened. But it will have done.
And to ask the question is itself an act of faith,
that's
you see.
Right. That's
for
right.
you. Because there's the inner, I wonder, did something happen or not?
Yes.
But it will. The more we renounce, but what we've got to do actually is renounce doubt.
Yes.
It's make a positive renunciation.
Yeah.
Tell you the lovely one, I love this bit. Mark chapter 11 again, which is fantastic. No, I can't go there. There isn't time.
No.
Okay.
No.
You'll have to come to the next time for this story.
I want to ask this lady in the red cardigan, how do you feel just now?
Oh, yeah.
You feel peaceful. Good.
And I'm expectant.
Expectant, good.
Thank you,
good.
Lord. Thank
good.
You, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. And what about the lady on the other side? You had a prayer too, didn't you?
Yes.
How do you feel?
A bit numb.
A bit numb. Numb in a good way?
Yes.
Numb in a good way, that's good.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, we're going to have another prayer now. We're going to call down the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. On everybody.
Yeah, and you be expectant, because God loves everybody. He loves you. He loves you. And I wish we could tell you all the stories. You'll get some on the CDs, but, you know, it's been remarkable. People are longing to know that God really loves them, and
that's
we
right.
have to be the ones to show them, because who else is going to show them?
Who else is going to do it?
They're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
And we have Jesus, and we keep him locked up, and we have to let him go and take him out and say, here he is.
There was somebody said to me once that they'd been, they had a gift of prophecy, and then something went wrong in their personal life, you know, and they felt they weren't good enough after that to continue to exercise the charism. They'd stopped exercising this gift. And that's a real trap for us as Catholics. We shouldn't be looking at ourselves. God doesn't give up on us. No matter what the sin is, God does not give up on us when we sin. All we have to do is turn to the Lord and ask his forgiveness. But believe, he's not going to be like a headmaster, you know, you're sent before the judge. It's not like that. You know, there's so many things I want to say to you, but we haven't time. Chapter 8 of St. John, the woman taken in adultery, you know, and the guys with the stones.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said to the one who hasn't sinned, throw the first stone.
Mm.
And then they all left. And there was the woman, the lady. All the men had sinned, of course, but the lady stood in the middle. And Jesus said, has no one condemned you? And she said, no, sir. And Jesus said, neither do I. But from our childhood as Catholics, with the catechism, I think there's been a bit of a misunderstanding in practice, you know, that God will give, God won't like me.
Well, the thing is, very often, you know, we're always short in the church of Eucharistic ministers.
Yeah.
And I've got alongside some people sometimes and said, would you be a Eucharistic minister? Oh, no, I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
I said, well, none of us are worthy.
None of us.
Jesus is the one who's worthy, but we are just here to serve people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a privilege to do it, but we need to be saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't say yes, if a priest doesn't say yes to his vocation, well, then we're going to miss out, aren't we? If we don't say yes to being a Eucharistic minister or reader or whatever, or doing what we're doing, whatever the Lord wants, using our gifts.
Can I just ask you, do you feel you have good news yourself, that you have real good news? Do you feel that?
Yes.
But three of you. You've got to get used to breaking this inhibition, you know, because we're family here. You can't make a mistake. There's no marks. It's all right. What was the question?
Do you feel you have good news? I was listening, Father Lawrence.
I checked it out there. Do you feel you have good news?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. I begin to hear it now.
Yes.
But if you really have good news, you'll be impelled to share it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll really want people to come to know the love you know. You know, this love of the Father for you, which nothing and nobody will ever take away. Mm-hmm. Nothing. He will never give up. No matter how often you let him down in sin, provided we repent afterwards, but you don't have to go back into false guilt. Don't go back there. But instead, praise God for forgiving you your sins. Keep praising God, singing to God.
Oh yes, behind your back.
the danger is my enthusiasm could take over. So Pauline helps me to discern: is it really the Spirit, or is it just me?
Well, it's not just that. We actually talk to each other and say, "Shall we talk about this now, or that now,
right,
or the next thing now?" It's not me stopping you from doing anything, because who can?
Did I suggest it? What? I hope I didn't suggest that.
No.
Okay.
No. So just
before we call down the Spirit.
Yeah, one little story, and it's I was with Father Lawrence and two priests, and we were having a meal together, and for some reason, one of the priests, he didn't really take to me, and. He seemed to be challenging me all the time over the table, at the lunch table. Excuse me. Can I just carry on? And then he started saying, well, of course, you belong to that charismatic movement. And Father Lawrence and I had been having a conversation about this, and so I knew that Father Lawrence agreed with me, and... I said, well, can I just say that it's not a movement, because nobody started it. It was started by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, it's charismatic renewal. And he was not happy about that. And so I was sitting next to Father Lawrence, and I thought, Father Lawrence is going to come to my aid, and he's going to back me up. And he just sat there. Silently. And so I stood on his toe.
Not allowed.
And still nothing happened. So I had to just swallow whatever it was I needed to swallow, along with my food. And anyway, I thought, now I can't have any rancor in my heart. This is wrong. And the Lord had been teaching me about this, to love people who don't like you particularly. And so he was a very humble guy. He went into the kitchen to wash up afterwards. And so I thought I'd join him. So I joined him over the tea towel. And eventually we started talking. And he wasn't from this country. And he said to me, he said, I can't eat very well. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, no, when I was a boy, he said, I drank some corrosive fluid and it affected my stomach. I said, oh, how awful, how terrible, what happened? And he was amazed that I was being interested and sounding compassionate. He said, well, nobody's ever asked me that before. I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, everybody I told, they just, they laughed. That was the usual thing, they laughed. And then when I told them the situation, they just said, well, it was your own fault. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. He needed to be in school. He wasn't in school. He was somewhere in Africa, and there were these big drums of water spread miles, spread so far apart because everybody needed water, obviously, and people could just go and drink from these big, big drums. And as I say, he hadn't been at school, and he went to drink from one of these drums, and somebody had put corrosive liquid in it and burnt him inside. And he, well, he was alive, but he could never swallow properly, never take much food.
That was 25 years.
Yeah. Well, at least. And anyway, Father Lawrence and I were praying with people because it was some parish mission, I think. And who came in the door for prayer to us but this priest? And I thought, well, that's very humble of you. And he came in and we prayed a prayer with him. And about a fortnight later, we got an email to say, I'm eating whatever I want. Yeah. And this is a big thing with healing. He said, I forgave all the people who were horrible to me about that. He said, and I was able to forgive myself for doing the wrong thing. And he said, and I'm just free. And he said, you can tell who you like, because isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful.
Yeah. So the Lord, you know, was teaching me a lot in that scenario, but to know that he's always in charge, and forgiveness is the most important. Forgiveness is the most important thing, because if I don't forgive, one guy in the ministry, he always says it's like pouring a cup of poison and drinking it for the other person and drinking it yourself. Pouring a cup of poison for the other person and drinking it yourself. Because it just harms us. So before we pray now, if there's anyone you need to forgive, just to make a decision without any feelings, to want to forgive or to want to forgive, is enough to bring about healing for you.
It's like the image of a closed room with no window. If you just open the door that teeny little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little
Let
bit of light will go in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this thing about forgiveness is key to nearly all the healing.
Yes. But also, you have to want it.
Yeah.
You have to want it.
But you don't have to feel it. We say, don't we, Polly? It's to want to forgive. You may not feel like wanting to forgive.
It's to be in God's will.
In order to be in God's will. Mm-hmm. That's enough. Just that bit. You think of your breakdown. I have some family members who haven't talked to each other for 40 years. You know, it's just appalling.
Yeah.
But so to want, that opens the door to let let the love in.
And those people who've elbowed you out, they need forgiveness as well.
And one other little thing. You may feel that the people who've wronged you have got away with it, but they haven't.
No.
Whatever they've done to you that was wrong, Jesus takes this as serious as done to himself.
Yeah.
He hates what people have done to you. Therefore, pray for your enemies.
Yeah.
They've not got away with it. But I used to feel they had. I was bullied in school, had all kinds of problems. But I thought people got away with it, but they haven't.
Mm-hmm. So now we're going to call down God's Holy Spirit. And there is a team, I'm sure. I mean, we have Catherine and Charles who pray with us. And there'll be other people here who are in the ministry team.
Yeah.
And what we'll probably ask you to do is to, if you wouldn't mind, sitting in twos, so that Father Lawrence and I will probably come around as well. And we have a particular way that we like to pray with two people at a time. And if you wouldn't mind, you might have to move to
That's
sit
right.
beside somebody else.
So if you came alone, if you're sitting alone,
Just go and sit beside somebody. Yeah.
And make sure that there aren't any bags. So that we don't trip over them. So that the straps aren't poking out. Thank you. I know we've got one box of tissues at the back. You might have to share them out. It's okay to cry. It's good to cry. It's a release. And it's all right to make a noise. You can do what you like. You're free. Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, it's not... look, if there's an odd number, well... no worries. So could we invite you just to close your eyes and just to hold your hands out in front of you to receive what God has to give you. And we're just going to renounce a few things that you may or may not have been involved in, but maybe your ancestors or somebody close to you might have been. But we ask you to say the words anyway.
And it's in some of these renunciations, some people are not very clear as to why. There are all kinds of New Age types of therapy and healing which are tinged with the occult. And what's wrong about them is that they rob us of faith. Once we turn away to other things.
We put our trust in other things instead of God.
Rather than in the person of Jesus. Yeah. He is the healer.
Yes. So if you just say this prayer after... I'll say some of the prayer and Father Lawrence will say some of the prayer. And we just... If you just say the prayer after us. Heavenly Father, I come to you today.
Heavenly Father, I come to you today.
And I want to turn my back on sin.
And I want to turn my back on sin.
I want to turn completely to you.
I want to turn completely to you.
I'm sorry for all my sins.
I'm sorry for all my sins.
And for involvement in anything that is not of you, Heavenly Father.
And for involvement in anything not of you, Heavenly Father.
I renounce all reading of tarot cards.
I renounce reading of tarot cards. Going to fortune tellers.
Going to seances.
Consulting the stars to know my future.
I renounce Freemasonry. I renounce all pornography.
I renounce all pornography. I renounce yoga.
I renounce Reiki healing. Heavenly Father, I want to remove the person or object.
Heavenly Father, I want to remove the person or object
that takes your place.
That takes your place
in my life.
In my life.
I want to put Jesus.
I want to put Jesus
in the center of my life.
In the center of my life.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
By the power of the Holy Spirit. I renounce all New Age practices.
I renounce all New Age practices.
And the practices of non-Christian religions.
And the practices of non-Christian religions. And there may be things that you want to shout out, not necessarily what you've done, but just to help just to be part of this.
You could just shout out, I renounce, and mention what.
But it doesn't mean you've done it.
Yes.
I renounce anything
to do with the occult.
Please. I renounce homeopathy.
I renounce witchcraft.
I renounce violence.
I renounce violence.
I renounce xenophobia.
I renounce xenophobia.
I renounce blasphemy.
I renounce unforgiveness.
I renounce one person belittling another.
Or judging another.
I renounce black magic. I renounce juju.
I renounce unforgiveness.
I renounce astral travel. I renounce negative thoughts.
I renounce negative thoughts.
I renounce doubt.
I renounce low self-worth.
I renounce scams.
I renounce fear.
I renounce believing the lies of the enemy.
I renounce all evil use of the internet.
I renounce jealousy and envy.
I renounce being ashamed of the good news, being ashamed of mentioning Jesus by name.
I renounce being ashamed of the good news of mentioning Jesus by name.
I renounce gossip.
I renounce everything that is under the umbrella of the occult.
I renounce everything under the umbrella of the occult.
Jesus, I ask you now to...
Jesus, I ask you now.
To cleanse me with your precious blood. And fill me with your Holy Spirit and fire. As promised by John the Baptist.
I renounce all discouragement and disappointment with my own parish.
Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me to overflowing. So that I may take you out. To the whole world.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Three persons in one God.
I want to renounce being ashamed of the gift of tongues.
Amen.
Amen.
So just, we might ask Alistair if you just play some soft music, and people will come around and just put a hand on your shoulder. And if you don't want a prayer, if you don't want to be prayed with, we ask you to fold your arms and nobody will come to you.
That's a clear signal to us.
Yes.
You prefer not to have hands laid on you.
Yes.